You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read about 10 scriptures here. Luke 15, 11 says this: Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to him, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. After a few days, the younger son got everything together and journeyed to a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent all he had, a severe famine swept through that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his belly with pods of the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. Verse 17, finally he came to his senses. Someone say senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty of food? But here I am starving to death. I will get up and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But when he was still in the distance, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The son declared, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us feast and celebrate. The son of mine who was dead is alive again. He who was lost is found. And they began to celebrate. The heart of the father is turned towards you. It's always turned towards you. The title of this message this morning is called The Heart of the Father. Let's pray. So, Lord, we ask you right now for your heart. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in this place. And, Lord, we declare we don't make room for you. We give you the room. You are the guest of honor. You are what we pursue. You are who we pursue. You are our obsession. Lord, we love your presence. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in this place. So, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying today through your word. I declare your logos will become rhema today. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Lord, we ask you to teach us your mercy culture. Lord, no one came here to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Help the Seahawks today, and I apologize again about that Baptist joke. Amen. Heart of the Father. Malachi says this in verse 4-6. It says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father. This is what the prophet declared. This has been a daily prayer of mine for years. This has been a pursuit. This has been a passion. This has been an obsession. I've been praying every day for 2.5 years as I've been coming into this city. Father, give me your heart for this city. I've been praying, Lord, would you turn your heart to Fort Worth? And would Fort Worth turn its heart towards you? Every single day when I drive my kids to school, we do Beatitudes, and we do the full armor of God, and we do the Ten Commandments, and we pray together, and we get to this one spot as we drive to Calvary Christian, and we go over this bridge that overlooks the city, and we stretch our hands towards the city together every single day as a family, and we take turns praying over the city of Fort Worth, and every day as a family, we pray, Lord, would you turn your heart to Fort Worth? This has been not only a prayer, but a prophetic word. If you were here in May for our very first Sunday,
with Pastor Zane Anderson. He's one of our apostolic elders. And Pastor Zane prophesied from this stage in this house on that Sunday night that this would be a house that prodigals would come home to. This would be a house that would welcome prodigals. This would be a house where pastors' sons and daughters would get restored by those that were hurt in the ministry. This would be a house that people that were far from the Lord would come close to Him again. So here's what I'm saying this morning. If we're going to be a house of reconciliation, it means we must be a house of fathers. This morning, I want to teach you on the heart of the Father. Not only is this His heart towards you, but this should be your heart towards everyone. Some of you have a hard time, even when we talk about fathers and spiritual fathers and heavenly fathers, because you have had bad experiences with fathers. And they tell us that by our experience with our natural father, it reflects our relationship with or our perception of our Heavenly Father. So if you've had a great natural father, a loving, a kind, a generous natural father, you would look at God like that. But if you didn't have that kind of father, if you had an angry, a mean, a resentful, a bitter, or even a harmful father, you can look at towards God like that, like He's mad at you, He's upset with you, He's always angry with you. I hear people say this all the time. God's not angry. Well, yes, He is. But anger doesn't mean evil, mean, or abuse. Is there any parents that have been angry with their children before? Okay, you don't kill them. But you've been angry. You love them. That's the same way. God could be angry and not harmful, and not mean, and not vindictive. The Bible says that He is a good father. And here's the thing, is a lot of people are looking to get something from their fathers that they don't have to give you. I'll put it like this. Isaac and I are friends. We've known each other for years. Isaac and his beautiful bride, who I destroyed in jousting yesterday at my son's birthday party. We honor women, but I took her out in the joust. I couldn't lose to her. And someone was videotaping. I said, I can't lose to her. And CrossFit what? That's all I'm saying. Okay. We've known them for years. They moved from Tucson, Arizona to be a part of Mercy Culture. And we're friends. And if I came to you, Isaac, and said, can I have $20? I need 20 bucks and we're friends. Can I have $20? What would you say? Okay, can I have $20? We don't take offerings, but we will. Sweet. Thank you. $20. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, if I went to you, Isaac, and I said, we're good friends, and I've done a lot for you. I've been there for you, and, you know, we're close, and I know you love me. Can I have $2 million? What would you say? How come? But I thought you loved me. But if you love me, could I have $2 million? Okay. He can't give me what He doesn't have. And a lot of you are looking for something from an earthly father that they don't have. And you're continually frustrated because you keep going back to them for the same thing that they don't have. There needs to be a point where you stop getting frustrated with an individual that doesn't have what you're looking for, and you turn your attention somewhere else. Because that love and affection that you're looking for, that affirmation that you're looking for, that comfort that you're looking for, that approval that you're looking for, they may not have it to give it to you. But I can tell you who does. See, your earthly father might not have it, but everything your heavenly you're looking for, your heavenly father has. I'm going to say that again. Everything you're looking for, your heavenly Father has. Some of you need a prophetic change of view. Some of you need a change of focus. Some of you need to stop looking here and start looking here for what you've been looking for. It's the heavenly Father's job to bless. I'm going to say that again. It's the Father's job to bless. And some of your natural fathers don't know how to bless. In fact, they only know how to curse. But I have good news for you. We serve a good Father who loves to bless his children. Heather preached on it last week. He is looking for opportunities to show you mercy. He's looking for opportunities to bless you. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this: if then who are evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more, someone say more, does your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask? He loves to give good gifts. We see this in the story of the prodigal son. The father says this in Luke 15, 22. He said, quick, get the best robe, put it on him. Grab a ring, put it on his finger, and put sandals on his feet. Watch this. The son took half of his inheritance, squandered it, and the father is still looking for an opportunity to bless his son. Real quick, I don't have a lot of time to go through these. He gave him three gifts: a robe, a ring, and sandals. A robe represents a mantle or authority. Excuse me. The robe represents a mantle or anointing. A mantle or anointing. People are saying, what's the anointing? The anointing is the tangible presence of God on your life. And too many times in the church of America, we can't tell the difference between anointing and talent. So our worship services look like American Idol services. And you can't tell the difference because you're not aware of what the anointing is. See, you become aware of what the anointing is when you have it. See, the anointing is when the presence of God rests upon your talent. But it will take your talent where you can't take it. It's a spiritual amplification of a talent. Not just talent, but also on character. You don't have to just be able to sing or play an instrument to be anointed. But you could be anointed through words. You could be anointed through relationship. You could be anointed through business, where the tangible presence of God comes upon you. And the end goal isn't making a profit, but the end goal is to become a prophetic voice to whoever you're doing business with. Number one, he gave him a robe. He gave him a mantle or anointing. Number two, he gave him a ring. A ring symbolizes authority. Who had the king's ring or seal walked with the same authority. Some of you know this story, but we didn't want a senior pastor. I was raised as a pastor's kid. I've worked in churches for over a decade, and I've seen the dysfunction and the hypocrisy in church, and I just said, I love God, I love people, but I don't want anything to do with drama. Can I get an amen? Amen. You're quiet because you guys might be dramatic. I don't know. I don't know. And I just, I love people, but I'd rather just go and travel and minister and prophesy and stir up the spirit and ruckus and trouble and then leave. That's way funner. And so I said I wasn't going to pastor. And then the Lord spoke to me and told us to pastor here. And so I went on my first 40-day fast. And I'm on the third day of the fast, I'm downtown Fort Worth. And I walked every block of downtown praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And for anyone who was bothered this morning during worship, the Bible says to sing new songs unto the Lord. They were just singing in the Spirit. They weren't prophesying in the Spirit. And the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, to make sure you got words of affirmation or wisdom that come. You're getting the words of affirmation and wisdom right now. So take a breath and relax. Here's why it's so important that you speak in tongues, because God speaks to you when you're speaking in tongues, because when you're speaking in tongues, you speak to God. And if you think the gift isn't for you, you haven't read the text properly. The Bible says that not everybody does. It doesn't say it's not for everybody. And it's funny because I never hear someone quote a scripture like, hey, heaven's not for me. Not everybody goes to heaven. In fact, Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did all these things. You say, away from me, you doers of iniquity. I never knew you. Broad is the road to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. But I don't hear anyone, hey, I'm just claiming that broad road over my life. I know destruction's not for everybody, but I'm just going to receive it by faith. I already told you he's a good father that loves to give gifts. How about instead of resisting the Spirit, you welcome it? How about instead of not saying for the last 5 years, it's not for me, why don't you say for the next 5 years, it's for me? What might happen if you start resisting? Oh, I got to stop for a second. No, I'm going to keep going. What would happen if you stop resisting the Holy Spirit and welcomed it? Hold on, let me just stop for a second. We're coming up on Christmas time. I know, brace yourself, okay? We just got to get through everything else. But here we go. But could you imagine giving someone a gift, and when you go to give them the gift, they're like, Honestly, I don't really want this, and this gift isn't for me. No, that's what you've been doing to God for the last 5 years. When he has a gift for you. Anyway, back to my story. So I'm walking downtown praying in the Holy Ghost because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I'm walking back and forth, and finally I get to the last block of downtown Fort Worth. And here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, would you make me a father in this city? And the Holy Spirit quickly, Ross, he said, you can't ask for that. I said, then what do I ask for? He said, begin to ask me for authority. So my prayer shifted. And for the last 2.5 years, I started asking the Lord for his authority. Now, I was driving about 7-8 months ago on the freeway, and the Holy Spirit said to me, do you know why I told you to ask me for authority? I was like, I have no idea. The Lord always asks you questions when he's about to tell you something. Because how many know you don't know the answer to his questions? He said, because the fathers are the ones with authority. So you just wear the father's ring before you become a spiritual father. I want to prophetically, just go ahead and put your hand out like this. I want to prophetically put a ring of authority on you today. Come on, I know this is going to weird some of you out. You're not, it's okay, but some of you are going to get it. I want to put on you a ring of authority that you start walking in the heart of a father because you're wearing the authority of the father. You need to understand when you're going to school, I know you're walking in that campus as one of many, but you're wearing the authority of the father. When you go to work, it doesn't matter what your position is in the company, you're wearing the ring. Come on, put your hand out there. I want to put this authority on you today that you stop walking in fear, you stop walking to timidity, but you start walking in the authority of the Father. If you receive it, say, I do. You know what's a really cool thing? As I was praying this morning, I said, Lord, show me how to walk your bride down the aisle. You didn't know at this altar this morning you'd be getting a ring, did you? This is what happens when you go to a prophetic church. Just weird stuff like this happens. But I take it all day. I'll take it all day. I told the Holy Spirit, the only church I want to be at is a church that the presence of God is at. If he's not there, I don't want to be there. Touch two or three people and say, he's here, he's here, he's here. That's a preaching trick to get you distracted so I can look at my next point. Number three. Number three, he put him sandals. You know what sandals are? Sandals symbolizes protection. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, there's a hedge of protection around Job and there's nothing I can do about it. The first time I read that and I saw it, because you, how many know you could read the Bible 100 times, but then when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, all of a sudden you're like, that's there? It's been there the whole time. There's hedges of protection. I want one. How do you get one? Ask for it. The same way you get tongues. It's this amazing thing. Do you see how this works? The Father loves giving gifts, and you just ask. If you don't know how to ask the Father to get gifts, I just need to sit you down with my 8-year-old Peyton. Because she will ask you to death, Dad, 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 Dad. I mean, she's already working on her next birthday present. She just got it. She's like, Dad, can we go on a date? Dad, can we? What's the next dad-daughter date? Hey, Dad, when are we going? Dad, you said every time you left town, we got to go on a date together. I'm like, this little, she remembers everything. I was like, all right, I cut to the chase. I know my daughter. I'm like, Pay, what do you want? She's like, Dad, I just want to go on a date with you. I was like, Pay, what do you want? I want to go to Target. What do you want at Target, Pay? Okay, there's a pink scooter that I can ride, and it's got a motor on it, Dad. I'm like, Pay, that's not a daddy-daughter date gift. That's a Christmas gift. She goes, can I get it for Christmas? Ask for it. Fathers, hear me. Single mothers, hear me. Pray the hedge of protection around your children every day. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Deliver us from evil. Put the hedge of protection around your house. Tell the neighbors, keep the evil on that side of the fence. This side, there's a hedge. We had a neighbor who the enemy might have planted next to me to be a thorn in the flesh. And I know you're all thinking it's John, but there's another neighbor. I've been waiting to get him back. I've been waiting to get my neighbor John back. And they're the kind of neighbors that have pit bulls that they don't put on a leash. They're the kind of neighbors that play hippity-hop music at 2 a.m. They're the kind of neighbors that have funny smells coming out of their house, and it's not skunk smells. And the neighbors finally left quickly in the middle of the night, and I started having daydreams that their house was set on fire by them. Now, when I say daydreams, I mean visions. And a lot of you are jealous of dreamers, but God gives you visions when you're awake during the day. You just call them daydreams. Start paying attention to them. So I started seeing 2 or 3 times the neighbor's house. In fact, when I'd wake up early in the morning, if my son woke me up or something, I'd go look out the window just to check if the house was on fire. And then I saw them leave, and I saw the guy that used to live there pull up and drive away kind of fast. And I just something was like, something's wrong about that. And my spiritual spidey senses are going off. And so I said, I'm gonna go over there and see what was going on. So I just went over and the door was open. I walked in the door and I feel like, what? I got a hedge of protection, y'all. But I'm looking, I feel like I'm in like a scary movie, holes in the wall. I'm like, this place is not good. And all of a sudden I start getting super dizzy. And then I hear this, shh, and I'm like, what is that? That's not the neighbor's weed. What is that smell? And they had left all of the gas on in their house. So I get out there as fast as I can, dizzy, run over to my other neighbor's house. I was like, John, let's call the fire department. Fire department come. They shut it all off. The police come. Watch. There's a hedge of protection around my house. I pray it every day. I know it's there. It's around my children at school. It's around our home. Wherever they go, I pray, let angels of protection go with us, go before us, go around us. I'm telling you, you pray the hedge of protection. It is the sandals on your feet that protect everywhere that you put your foot. It is a gift from the Father. Someone say amen. Back to the story. The story of the prodigal son is actually not about a son, in my opinion. It's a story about a father. It's about the heart of the Father, and it's about the Heavenly Father's heart towards us. It shows us his heart. So Luke 15, 13 says, he went out and squandered his wealth in wild living. Verse 17 says, finally, he came to his senses. He squandered everything he has. He squandered his talents. He squandered his time. He squandered his treasure on wild living. If you study this out, theologians believe it was with prostitutes. It was with drunkenness. It was with all sorts of debauchery. He is a sinner. And he loses everything. Scripture says the foolish in their wealth will soon part ways. He loses everything he has. And the Bible says he comes to his senses. Do you know what your senses are? It's your sensitivity to the Spirit. Do you know wild living desensitizes you to the Spirit? People love saying, God loves you no matter what. Yes, while we were yet sinners, he died for you. He loves you no matter what. It doesn't mean you're going to still be sensitive to him. You're going to lose your sensitivity. If you're out getting drunk, you're going to lose your sensitivity. If you're out on Friday night acting a fool, you're going to lose your sensitivity. If you're engaging into sinful activity, you're going to lose your sensitivity. So it says he finally came, the grace of God, the mercy of God met him. He came to his senses and said, I'm going to go back to my Father. Let's look at the heart of the Father displayed through the actions of the Father. It's one thing to desire the heart of the Father. I'm telling you this because the prophetic word that's over our house, that this will be a house that prodigals come to. So that means it has to be a house of spiritual fathers and mothers. So if we're going to be a house of spiritual fathers and mothers that are good ones, we need to have good hearts and good actions. Because I'm sick of people telling me that someone has a good heart when they have nothing but bad actions. I want a good heart with good actions. And good fathers have good actions. Let me say it like this. Fathers do what no one else will do. If you're taking notes, please write that down. Fathers do what no one else will do. Spiritual fathers and mothers do the hard things, not the easy things. I want you to stop for a second. What did your spiritual mother and father not do that would have really helped you? That's what you're called to do for someone else. Here are the actions. Verse 20. So he got up and went to his father, but when he was still in the distance, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran to his son to embrace him and kissed him. Here are the actions, four actions I'm going to give you of the heart of the Father. Number one is they run to people. The Bible says when the prodigal was still in the distance, the father saw him. In fact, theologians believe that he could barely recognize him in sight, but knew by the Spirit who he was. Some of you need to stop looking at people's outward appearances and by the Spirit start recognizing someone. I go and pray, and because we don't have a church of our own, I go to other people's churches and sanctuaries and pray in other churches and sanctuaries. I've been doing it since I was a little kid. I grew up doing it in my dad's church, and I love doing it. So there was this church, and the church wasn't open, and so I was on my knees outside on my face praying in front of this church. And this gardener came up to me and starts yelling at me. And he's like, you need to get out of here. And I said, sir, what church do you go to? And he goes, this one. And I said, oh, Pastor so-and-so is a friend of mine. He's like, you need to get out of here. I said, obviously, you don't know me by the Spirit. Because I looked in this gardener's eyes, and they weren't the eyes of a godly man. So he's chasing off a pastor who's praying for his pastor. Sound like Jezebel to you? Watch. I'm on the property, and he's chasing off a man of God. Man, how many times does this happen in church? Yes, ma'am. that someone's coming in and they just look a little different than your yuppity environment that you're used to. And I don't know about them and all these young people. And I don't know about this and I don't know about that. And they got weird piercings and this and that. And I'm not a fan of them either. But you know what? Pierce away. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't carry the spirit of it, I'm down. It's a joke about how many times I get asked about tattoos on Tuesday Q&A. My opinions on tattoos are I don't care about tattoos. I care about hearts. I'm after hearts. I'm after souls. I'm not after the outward appearance that everybody is stuck on. I'm after the heart and soul of a generation to come and get to know of God. Watch this. The prodigal son, his father recognized him by the Spirit. I call it deep calls unto deep. You recognize somebody without knowing somebody because you say, I recognize that their soul is thirsty, is hungry. They're looking for God. They're looking for the Father. They're looking for someone. And it's our job, listen, to go get them. Not to create distance, to close the distance. When there was still a long way off, watch this, he was close but not there yet. I love this. We got to break that demonic cycle of we are waiting for people to come to me. I just really want to just, you know, I want to test their hearts. I want to make sure their hearts are right. No. Is your heart right? I want to prophesy over you, Mercy Culture. Go get them. No. Go get your neighbor. I was talking about one story. My other neighbor's John. When John was just walking close, I went and got him. We went and wrapped our arms around it, embraced him. He's one of my favorite people in the church, my next door neighbor. I love this guy with all of my heart. Listen, when people are just close, go get them. Run after them. Love on them. If they're even interested in about God, if they're just talking about a higher power, if they're just opening up at just this much of the door, go get them. That's why we have small groups. Get them in your home. Get them in your life. Go get your family member. Listen, stop waiting for them to come to you. The heart of a father goes to them. Are you hearing my heart this morning? The son was walking, but the father was running. The son was walking. Could I just father you this morning? Don't allow their heart condition to determine your heart condition. It's not about how bad do they want it. It's about how bad does the Father want them. What are you waiting for, Mercy Culture? Go get them. Number two, he was filled with compassion, or he was filled with mercy. He was filled with mercy. He was filled with compassion. See, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. They will receive mercy. You have to be full of this mercy and compassion and able to give it to someone else. Let me ask you this question. How good has God been to you? How merciful has God been to you? It should be our joy and honor to do the same for other people. It should be our joy and honor to show that compassion, that mercy to others. Number three, he embraced him. The embrace of the Father consists of proximity or presence. He was close enough for him to be in his presence. This is the vision of Mercy Culture Church, to take people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. And we built this entire church up around one thing, the presence of God. So here's how you find the Father's heart, is you get in the presence of the Father, and then you bring the Father's presence to people. He kissed him. He embraced him. The Bible says that God is close. He's near to the brokenhearted. Number four, he kissed him. He created intimacy. Psalms 85:10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Is it a weird thing to say God wants to kiss you? He wants to kiss his bride. Worship team, come and join me. He desires to be intimate with you. He desires an intimacy. I know this sounds silly, but all the time I'll be praying on my knees. And I'll just start kissing on God. I know it sounds weird, and when I say it, I don't feel like a macho man, but that's okay. I'd rather look a fool to you and teach you how to be intimate with the Lord. When I'm running in the morning, I just feel compelled. Every time I get goosebumps, every time I feel the tangible presence of God, my initial response is to get on my knees. And it's one of the ways that I always signify I'm in his presence. I worship in the back every single Sunday morning. And when I get the goosebumps, when I feel that chill, you know what that is? That's you going through the veil, and the veil's torn, and the veil is rubbing your arms. Signifies that you're in the holy place. But if I experience that in the park or in my living room in the morning early as I'm praying or wherever I am, I drop to my knees because I want to honor the holy place. I want to honor the intimate place. And here's the thing about the intimate places. The intimate place is where God gives you his secrets. Do you know what's in the heart of God? The secrets of God. Do you want the perfect will of God in your life? Do you want to know what direction you should go? Young people, you want to know who you should marry? You don't have to go on 50 dates to figure it out. Heather and I went on one date. The Holy Spirit said, she's your wife, disciple her for 2 years. So on our third date, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She was speaking in tongues. We weren't kissing. She was speaking in tongues. If you're speaking in other tongues on your first date, you might not be your wife. In the intimacy of his presence, that's where his secrets are. That's where the directions are. That's where the next steps, that's what you hear his heart and his mind for your life. This is what the heart of the Father does. Number one, it runs to them. Number two, they're filled with compassion. They have mercy on them. Number three, they embrace them. They get in close proximity to the Father and to people. And number four, they kiss him. There's intimacy. These are the actions. And don't worry about sons running away. Don't worry about rebellious people. If I just give my heart to someone, they might hurt me. Yep, they might. They hurt Jesus too. That's why we're taught to forgive. That's why we're taught to turn the other cheek. And it doesn't matter how sons act. The Father always acts the same way. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. I believe the prophetic call that's on mercy culture is similar to the prophetic call that was on John the Baptist. It says in verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall never take wine or strong drink. He was called to be consecrated or set apart. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that's a call on our life, on this church. It's a mantle on this church. Even from his mother's womb, many of the sons of Israel will turn back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I believe this call, church is called to expose a Jezebelic spirit, just like Elijah. Same mantle was on John the Baptist, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is the revelation of the heart of the Father. For 2.5 years, I prayed the same thing. Lord, would you turn your heart to Fort Worth? I pray over the family members. That's why it's so important to be a member of the church, because the members are who I'm responsible for. and I pray and I fast and I make intercession on your behalf. Every week, I pray over the members of this church. I pray the things I'm telling you to pray. Even before you pray it, I'm praying it. I pray over your families. I pray over your marriages. I pray over your children. I pray over your finances. I pray that you have faith. I pray over the gifts of God would come into your life. This week I was praying over every mother that has that's pregnant right now. I was praying over every person that's trying to sell or buy property. I'm praying as the Lord leads me. That's who I know who I'm covering. The members of this house. I've been praying for 2.5 years. Lord, would you turn your heart to Fort Worth? So Fort Worth would turn its heart towards you. Would you pour your spirit out on this city, God? Would you make this a hub of your presence, that people all over the earth would know that Fort Worth was your city? Would you turn your heart, oh good God, oh kind Father, oh good Father, would you turn your heart to Fort Worth? And I had prayed that for 2.5 years until this week, and I stopped. Because I read Luke 15:20. Put it on the screen if you can. It says, so he got up. This is the Father. He went to his Father, but when he was still in the distance, his Father saw. And I was praying this week. And I said, Lord, how did the Father know that his Son was coming? And I heard the Father speak to me so clear while I was praying on my prayer run. And he said, because the Father's heart is always turned towards his children. I got goosebumps right now. The Father's heart is already turned to Fort Worth. I said, the Father's heart is already turned to Fort Worth. The Father's heart is already turned towards Mercy Culture. The Father's heart is already turned towards you. Did you hear what your pastor said? The Father's heart is turned towards you. His eyes are on you. And he's looking for you. The heart of the Father is not only turned towards you, but it is always on you. Prayer team, come to the front as fast as you can. Some of you need to know the Father's heart is towards you, and others in this room need to know the Father's heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. Some of you need to know the Father's heart is turned towards you. And others here need to know the Father's heart. Two things the Lord put in my heart for this morning. Number one is there's some individuals that you are away from God. You are living wildly. You are not surrendered. You are squandering your wealth. You are squandering your talents. You're squandering time. You haven't been pursuing God. You've been resisting God. You've been resisting the things of God, and you wound up in this church today. Some of you might have been in church for a while, but your heart hasn't been engaged. You've been hard-hearted. You've been closing your heart off. And today you feel that call. You feel that anointing that's on this house for prodigals to come home. Don't get caught up in titles. Hear what I'm saying today. If you are away from God and you see the Father's heart is turned towards you today, he is running towards you. If you say, Landon, I'm away from God and I need to get closer. I need to commit my life. I need to recommit my life. I need to get back in the presence of God. I'm away from God and I need to get closer. Boldly stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Don't be afraid. Just stand. Right where you are. Just stand. I don't care. care what anyone thinks in this room, because the Father's heart's turned towards you. Anyone else, stand. Don't be embarrassed. You know what that embarrassment or that is? That's called shame. It comes from the enemy. Shame has no place in the presence of God. So I declare right now, you spirit of shame, you have no authority here. We celebrate people no matter where they're at. We celebrate people no matter what they're struggling with. I celebrate people no matter what they're going through. We celebrate you. Come on, keep your eyes closed right now. Every heart on God right now. If your heart's beating out of your chest right now, it means you need to stand. Stand to your feet. I'm going to give you about 10 more seconds.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.